Thank you all for joining us here at I-80 Sports, where today we continue our 32-part 2021 team previews. Today's team, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Thank you all for joining us here again at I-80 Sports. Thank you all for joining us here at I-80 Sports. Make sure that you check out our website down below, i80sports.com, for all of our team previews coming up. And we are previewing all 32 teams leading up to the beginning of the NHL season in the beginning of October. And if you're here on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe for all of our team previews that we've got left to come up. We're rounding out the Atlantic Division. We've only got the Metropolitan Division left to cover, and we've already covered the Central Division and the Pacific Division. So if you got any favorite teams in those divisions, go back and check out our playlist on YouTube. All of our videos are there. And if you're on Twitter, make sure you follow us down below at i80_sportsNHL. And if you're currently following on Twitter, thank you all so much, because we greatly value all of your support. Without your support, we can't do this on a weekly basis. Oh, Brian, he's Tom. Tom, how you doing today?
Doing well here, and here we are to preview, what more can I say, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, as goes without saying, the two-time reigning, defending, undisputed champions of the world, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And shout out to you, Paul Heyman, on that one. But yeah, let's go over these team facts real quick. Kind of glitched a little bit for me just prior, because I already flashed up key additions and subtractions. So we're gonna be getting to those just shortly. But 2020 and 2021 team facts. What was Tampa Bay's record last year? Glad you asked. It was 36-17-3. That's 36 wins to 17 losses to 3 overtime losses, good for 75 points, and they finished third in the Central Division, and they were Stanley Cup champions not only this year, but last year as well. They are now on a two-peat. They were repeat champions this year. On the power play and the penalty kill, they did quite well in both categories. On the power play, they were sitting at 22.4% on the power play, above league average, which league average, as we have gone over in previous videos, is sitting at around 19%. So 22.4%, looking pretty there. Penalty kill, same thing. League average is about 79%. They were sitting at 84.2%. Well done by the Tampa Bay Lightning. And fun facts here, they had 181 goals for, which was good for 8th in the entire NHL. And goals against, they only allowed 147, which was good for 6th in the entire NHL. So in both categories, they found themselves in the top 10 in the entire NHL. Leading scorers, we had Braden Point with 48 points, Andre Palat with 46 points, and Victor Hedman with 45 points. Consistency across the board for the Tampa Bay Lightning last year. As I flashed up before, we have key additions and some key subtractions for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, some additions to this team. We had Gabriel Dumont, Charles Hudon, Darren Radish, Andre Schuster, Brian Elliott, Zach Bogosian, Pierre-Edward Belmar, and Corey Perry. That's a very interesting name to throw out there. Subtractions, I'm not going to sugarcoat this one. They had lost their entire third line. That includes Barclay Goodrow, Blake Coleman, and Yanni Gourde, who was taken in the expansion draft by Seattle, is going to be a prime piece for the Seattle Kraken this year. Also lost to either free agency or trades were Tyler Johnson, David Savard, and Luke Shen. So all players on the subtraction side of things are rather large subtractions, as you're probably noticing already. Now, we've got to go over some X factors. And no, we're not talking about NHL 22 X factors. We're talking about our own brand of X factors. Who is the most important for the team's success this year. I don't know why I had a brain fart there, but Tom, I've done enough talking at this point, especially since I can't English right now. So let's turn it over to you. Who do you feel are X factors on the Tampa Bay Lightning this year?
Well, a big one here has to be the captain, Steven Stamkos. For many years, this was Steven Stamkos' team. He was the key focal point of the Tampa Bay Lightning for many, many years. Now that they've won two cups in a row, I hate to say it, he's kind of taken a back seat. He's kind of taken a secondary role behind guys like Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, Victor Hedman, and Andrei Vasilevsky. This team lost a lot of depth over the offseason. In order to, I guess, address that, they plan to drop Anthony Cirelli to the third line center position. He was playing in that second line slot last year. And Stamkos is going to go back into the center ice position. Remember, guys, last year during their cup run, Stamkos was playing either on the right or the left side of Cirelli on that second line. He was not playing center more often than not. This year, right now, they plan on sending him back there, back to center ice. The biggest thing with Stamkos is that every year he's sort of declining little by little, and you sit there and wonder for a guy who's maybe the fifth most important player on his team despite wearing the C, is his contract going to come into play eventually? They're eventually going to want to re-sign the depth because depth has won this team their last two Stanley Cups. So you're going to want to bring back guys like, say, maybe Alex Killorn, and to a lesser extent, Alex Killorn, and to maybe a big one they're going to want to bring back is Anthony Cirelli, who could theoretically in the future maybe win a Selke trophy. They're going to cost both of those guys for them to come back. It's going to cost them a combined $8 million. Stamkos is making $8 million a year. If he struggles this year, or this team is looked at as more of a hopeful than a contender, I could see Stamkos being on the move, if not at the deadline, the next offseason.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And that's going to be something that I kind of bring up a little bit more in variables. So in a little while, I'm going to be kind of giving my two cents on that whole situation too. And for me, I could go on and on about the main core of guys, you know, such as Braden Point, you know, Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos, and Victor Hedman. I personally think there is one more important player in that core, and that's Andrei Vasilevsky. You know, he's a monster of a goaltender. Vasilevsky was fantastic last year. 31 wins. He had a 925 save percentage, which is beastly. He is and always has been a fantastic goaltender. And in years past, I would point to the forwards as X factors. I would point to a Braden Point, a Nikita Kucherov, a Steven Stamkos, even a Victor Hedman as an X factor on this team. But I honestly believe there's no one more important this year on Tampa Bay's roster than Andrei Vasilevsky. And Vasilevsky's success is going to be what's most important to Tampa Bay's success this year. We already know that guys like Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov are automatic when it comes to getting on the score sheet. We know that's an automatic. You know, that's a set it and forget it type of deal. You know, those are two guys that, if you're thinking fantasy draft, are going to be in that top 12 of guys. If you're in a 12-team deep league, they're going in that first round. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. They're just a set it and forget it types of players. Vasilevsky is probably the first goaltender off the board in any fantasy league, and for right reasons. He is a guy that more than likely will be in that Vezina talk by year's end. And that is a set it and forget it type of deal. Now, going on to breakout candidates, who do we feel are guys that could be coming into their rookie season and could have a breakout season, or have maybe had a couple years in the NHL and haven't quite had a breakout season yet? Tom, let's turn it over to you. Who do you feel could be a breakout candidate on the Tampa Bay Lightning this year?
Well, despite all the losses they went through this year with their depth and everything like that, there's still a lot of slim pickings here. Their top six forward-wise, five of those top six guys are spot on, good players. You know what you're going to get out of them. You know what they've done, and you know what they can do. One guy that isn't here, and the real key word here is but, is this guy Alex Barré-Boulet. Right now, he's actually expected to slot in on the second line right wing spot on Steven Stamkos' line. And he's really being given a lot. He's being given a lot of space here to prove himself. I'm looking for a better analogy, and I just don't have it. I'm sorry, guys. It's late at night. It's we're going on 10 o'clock on Wednesday night here, so my brain's not exactly sharp right now. But he's been at or near a point per game in the QMJHL as well as the AHL. He did play 15 games for Tampa last year. He had 3 goals, which if you equate that out to a full 82-game season, that would equate to 17 goals, which is not bad. In today's game, 17 goals for a middle six guy is not bad at all. If he can up that total this year to, say, around 20 or 25, the Bolts will have 2 formidable lines once again if this experiment with Anthony Cirelli rings true and he's going to stay on the third line and be that third line pivot down there. So curious to see what happens, but this is definitely going to be a guy to watch for them this year because they are giving him a lot of responsibility along with some other guys who I'm going to speak about later on.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, it's kind of slim pickings this year on this Tampa Bay Lightning team just because of how experienced they are. But, you know, those who know me know that I like me some defensemen. So for my breakout candidate, I'm going to go out and say, you know, the oldest son of former Colorado Avalanche legend, Adam Foote, Callan Foote, also known as Cal Foote. And Cal is coming into his first full season as an NHL defenseman. He did play 35 games last year, and in those 35 games of work last year, Foote only registered 3 points in about 13 minutes of ice time per night. That being said, he was still a +9, but the thing is, on a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, it would be more jarring if somebody was a minus on this team because it's almost a given on a team that won the Stanley Cup last year that you're probably on the plus side and the plus minus. So that's where I really don't necessarily count your plus minus is for a team like this. That being said, with more ice time coming his way this year, I could see the former first rounder registering more points this year and play a potentially important role on this already very good Tampa Bay defense. And we're going to be getting into that in just a second. And this Tampa Bay defense is really no different from last year. You know, there's really no change of scenery from last year to this year on this Tampa Bay defense. It's just solid up and down. So that being said, let's get into that a little bit. We're going to talk about the potential opening night lineup here for the Tampa Bay Lightning, which it should also be said, training camps just opened today. So there are ways that these lineups could change between now and the beginning of the NHL season on opening night. So that being said, as always, guys, please make sure that you know, take our prediction here with a grain of salt. But that being said, let's get into what this lineup could look like come opening night. So as per usual, we are going to start with forward line one. We are moving from left wing to center to right wing. On the first line, we've got Andre Palat with Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov. Next on forward line two, we've got Alex Killorn with Steven Stamkos and Alex Barboulet. Next on forward line three, we've got Ross Colton with Anthony Cirelli and Matthew Joseph. And on the fourth line, we've got Patrick Maroon with Pierre-Edward Belmar and Corey Perry. Next on the top line of defense, we've got Victor Hedman with Jan Ruta. On the second line of defense, we've got Ryan McDonagh and Eric Cernak. And lastly, on the third line of defense, it's Mikhail Sergachev with Cal Foote. And then rounding it all out, we've got the goaltending. The starting goaltender, of course, Andrei Vasilevskiy, with newcomer on the Tampa Bay Lightning, on the backup side of things, Brian Elliott. So a bit of a different lineup this year than in years past for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Not a bad lineup by any means. Not a bad lineup whatsoever. But as usual with these videos, we do got to talk about some variables because there are ways that this lineup could change between now and opening night. There are ways that this lineup can change between opening night to the Olympic break and then from the Olympic break to the trade deadline and then beyond. So that being said, Tom, what are some variables for this Tampa Bay Lightning team?
Well, the biggest one here, and it's the one that I hate sound like a broken record, but I keep addressing it, is that bottom six depth right now, that bottom six forward depth. The difference between the Bolts that have just won the last 2 Stanley Cups as opposed to the 2018 team that flamed out against Washington in the conference finals and the 2019 team that just flamed out in the first round and got swept out by Columbus is the depth. It really was the depth that was able to do things and dictate games. The third line of last year, which was Blake Coleman, Barclay Goodrow, and Yanni Gord, is no more. That was a line that last year and partially from the year before was a line that John Cooper could put on the ice and get to dictate and could change the pace of the game, could change the way games were going. That was a line that, believe it or not, with all the talent they had up in the top six, that was a line that they would start every playoff game with last year just so they could get out there and dictate the pace of the game and get their opponents thinking, you know, get them thinking, okay, well, they're throwing these third line guys out here to dictate us to dictate the pace of the game. Now what are we going to do with the first two lines? Right now they're putting Anthony Cirelli, who was their second line center for the last two runs, they're moving him down to the third line center with Matthew Joseph and Ross Colton to flank him on Matthew Joseph on the right side, Ross Colton on the left side, in the hopes that this will, you know, this will be the new third line. This will be able to replicate the success they had. And I sit here and I'm not so sure this is going to work. You know, another thing to think about here is, especially in this top nine, you have Joseph and Colton. I mean, Colton scored the cup-winning goal last year, and more power to him, man. But he, in my mind, he's still a little unproven. And same thing with Matthew Joseph, still a little unproven. Matthew Joseph was only getting into games last year because of injuries, and it was sort of the same thing with Ross Colton. The question here is, in this top nine, if somebody gets hurt, then what do they do? Then who do they bring in? Then you're looking at having to move Corey Perry up or Pat Maroon up, or you're looking to shuffle guys around. Or say if this third line just straight out doesn't work out, say if one of these guys struggles, then what do you do? Do you move Maroon up? Do you move Perry up to the third line and have those guys wallow on the fourth line? If this experiment with Alex Barry-Boulet, if that doesn't work, you know, they're expecting him now. If you read his stat line, you know, I said before, he's expected to be, say, like a 15 to 17 goal scorer. The hope for Tampa is that he gets 20 to 25. Say if that doesn't work. He's played center before, but if that doesn't work, you're having a third line now of Colton, Joseph, and Alex Barry-Boulet, because what will happen there is they'll put Cirelli back up on the second line and move Stamkos over to the right side because they know it worked last year, so they're going to try it again. So right now, that's really what's on my mind, is that this depth has been weakened big time. They should have. I know the cap situation was like a big thing with them, and I know that you were going to lose some people, but they should have tried to at least bring one of those three back from that third line they had last year. Just one of those guys. I know you couldn't bring back all three, but maybe just one should have been brought back. That's what's big in my mind. That's going to be the biggest variable, is that their depth, like I said before, has won them those last two Stanley Cups. About the third and fourth line, you know, has won them those last two cups the way they've played. And now that's been changed drastically. So that's the biggest variable in my mind. Excuse me, guys, I can't talk. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I can't English most of the times also. If you guys have been tracking these videos, I can't English, period. But I'm going to kind of like elaborate a little bit on Tom's point there. And I think Tampa Bay's really going to miss the third line from last year. And when we talk about that third line was Barclay Goodrow, Yanni Gord, and Blake Coleman, you know, moving from left wing center to right wing there. And I think Tampa Bay's about to realize just how good and effective that third line was when they don't have them anymore. All going their separate ways because, say it with me, they got paid. Barclay Goodrow signed with the Rangers and got paid. Yanni Gord settled with the Seattle Kraken just because of expansion draft, and he is probably there to stay. Now, he was already getting paid by Tampa Bay, but, you know, that contract now goes to Seattle. And lastly, Blake Coleman, he got paid by Calgary. You know, all three guys that performed very, very well for Tampa Bay, and they're going to miss him. You know, they're going to rely on Ross Colton and Matthew Joseph to really kind of pick up the slack on that third line. I think that's also why you bumped down Anthony Cirelli, because you want to give your lineup, you know, lineup balance. You know, good teams run four lines deep. And right now, this is a top nine. You know, that bottom line, I think, could be good. You know, Patrick Maroon, Pierre-Edward Belmar, Corey Perry. Personally, I just think you're kind of biding time until guys like Taylor Radish, Alexander Volkov, and Boris Kachu are ready to come up at this point. You're kind of just like treading the waters until those guys are ready to make the jump to the NHL, and it could be very well this season. Taylor Radish, I think, is like the first one that I think is going to shoot right up to the NHL the minute there's an injury, and I think he's going to be there to stay. But here's the problem, and here's a spoiler for the Toronto episode and what I'm going to talk about there. There's a big problem that Tampa Bay has right now and that they had last year, but spoiler, they used a loophole for $18 million in the playoffs to win the Stanley Cup. And that's cap space. You know, according to Cap Friendly, which thank God for Cap Friendly, as we always say, they currently have no cap space whatsoever. And that's even with taking on Brent Seabrook's contract and putting it on LTIR. They will want to re-sign Andre Palat. They might not have the ability to. They might want to be able to re-sign Jan Ruta, but they're not going to have the ability to. They're going to want to extend Matthew Joseph, but say it with me. They're not going to have the ability to until they actually make some moves. This is going to become a problem as early as this year. Yes, Braden Point signed a friendly-ish contract compared to what he should have made and what he should have been paid comparatively to other centers that are currently getting paid more. Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, looking at those players in particular, you know, spoiler alert for the Toronto video. But, you know, his contract, his new contract rather, begins next year. So he's getting paid about $6.5 million this year. Next year, it jumps to 9.5. They currently have six players right now that make over $6.5 million per year. That's Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, Victor Hedman, Andre Vasilevsky, and the one that might be expendable, Ryan McDonagh. And yes, trading Alex Killorin and his $4.45 million a year contract is the most popular opinion of like how you can move around money right now. That's true. But they may need to do more than that to be able to bring a core of guys back together. They may need to consider who out of these six mentioned above they would be willing to be able to part with soon. They're going to need to make some difficult decisions. So why do I bring this up? Because this bottom six is just plain and simple. They're not as good as last year's bottom six. They lost that entire third line, as I mentioned before, which was one of the best bottom six lines in the entire NHL, and all three of them got paid. Good teams run four lines deep, and teams need cap space to be able to do that. Tampa Bay's got a potential problem on their hands, and they're going to need to be able to figure that out. Maybe this is like that last year, that last hurrah before they really start, you know, moving money around to make room for these role players. But as we've said in the past, this is why they make the big bucks and we don't. We can only speculate. But in all actuality, Tampa Bay, they're still a decent team. They're still one of the best teams in the Atlantic. It's not time to hit the panic button just yet. But it is something that needs to be in the back of everybody and including Tampa Bay fans' minds going into the season. But lastly, we've got our question of the day, which our question of the day remains the same as it always does. Where does the Tampa Bay Lightning finish in the Atlantic Division this year? Tom, my TED talk there is over. So that being said, let's talk about where Tampa Bay finishes this year. Where do you think they finish in the standings for the Atlantic Division?
Well, to tell you the truth, I think they are going to take a little bit of a step back. I had mentioned in previous videos over this past year during the finals and the playoffs about how similar they were and how much they reminded me of those 90s Detroit teams, the 97 and 98 Red Wings who won back-to-back cups. Then what I didn't ever talk about was the 99 Red Wings. That team actually did take a big step back, believe it or not. They were not the juggernaut that everyone thought they were. They took a huge step back. They still made the playoffs that year. And I even remember at the deadline, they had made some moves that year, bringing in guys like Chris Chelios and Wendell Clark to supplement the team. But they still flamed out against Colorado in round two that year. And my thing with Tampa is this year, I think they do take a step back. I really do. And I mean, granted, they haven't been that regular season juggernaut over the last few years. You know, they have like they were in 2018 and 2019 per se. But I think this year they take a step back, and I'm not sure how far they go in the playoffs either. It's very difficult to win three in a row in this league. And with all the personnel they lost, I just don't think three in a row is going to happen. A lot of people are saying they will do it. The hockey guy is saying it. The hockey news is saying it. Some other things I read are saying it. Oh, they're going to win three in a row. I'm hard-pressed to believe it right now. The biggest part of why they won last year is gone. That third line is gone. You're sitting there hoping that your new third line is your second line center and two kids who performed last year, and you're sitting there and hoping like hell that that's going to replace what you had last year. And I'm just having a hard time believing that that's going to be the case. So believe it or not here, I'm going with fourth. I'm going with fourth in the division. They still make the playoffs. I still think they make the playoffs, but I don't think they win that elusive third Stanley Cup in a row. I really don't.
Yeah, and that's some bold thinking right there. I mean, could they win three straight? Maybe. But it's going to be because of somebody like Andrei Vasilevskiy and no one else. Yeah, you can point the finger at Kucherov or point as guys that are going to be massive contributors to that success as well as Victor Hedman. But at this point, it's on Andrei Vasilevskiy to really, you know, carry this team. This is Vasilevsky's team right now at this time. Personally, I really think they're going to miss that third line from last year of, you know, Barclay Goodrow, Yanni Gourde, and Blake Coleman. So with that said, I'm going to conservatively say second place right now for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's still a good team. It's still a potent offense. It's a very good defense and a fantastic goaltender. But that being said, the asterisk next to that, see, I can English sometimes. I would not be surprised if Tom's prediction comes true, because as I alluded to before with the cap problem, they're going to need to make some moves, and they're going to be a team that's going to be potentially moving and shaking come the trade deadline, not because they are looking to, you know, make that one push, but because they're going to need to fit certain guys into the lineup and also make room cap-wise to re-sign some very important players in the next few years. But, guys, as always, what do you guys think? Do you agree? Do you disagree with us? You got to let us know down below in the comments section. And while you're there, drop a like and subscribe for all of our team previews that we've got coming up. Because, hey, you might not necessarily be a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, but we are previewing all 32 NHL teams leading up to the beginning of the NHL season in October. But you can also find our content down below at iadsports.com, where not only can you find our NHL normal content that you can find on a weekly basis, but as well as our team previews, you can also find our NFL, NCAA football, MLS, and NBA coverage there as well. The football season is in full swing for college and for professional sports. You got to make sure you show them some love as well. And if you're on Twitter, make sure you follow down below at @i80_sportsNHL. And if you're currently following already, thank you guys so much, because without your support, we can't do this on a weekly basis. But as always, guys, it's time to move away here from the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's time to move on to a new team. So that being said, I'm Brian. He's Tom. This has been our Tampa Bay Lightning 2021-2022 team preview.